Open up your Bibles with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And no, I'm not going to preach on tithing. Not going to preach on giving. I'm going to preach on getting. How about that? Amen. Well, you know, the Bible says when we give, it's going to be given to us, right? That's what we say every time we receive an offering. So go to Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse 6 here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not." Now, I want us to just kind of get that into us now. Now, I understand this is Old Testament scriptures, and so I'm going to give you some Old Testament scriptures concerning this. I will jump up and give you a Hebrews scripture, Hebrews 13:8. Here's what it says: Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? So what we want to do is just kind of show you, to establish to you that God says, you know, I'm God and I don't change. Now, I understand that there are things that the way God does things and the methods of the way, thank God, does things, they do change. But God's attributes and the things that are settled, the things that are solid foundations, they don't change. Okay? So God says, I'm the Lord and I change not. Now, jump over with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at it. Genesis chapter 2. Let's jump down to verse 7. Okay? It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone." Now, I just want to stop right there, because what I wanted to show you is this. When God made man, then God made man a garden. And when God made man the garden, he put in the garden every pretty tree for you to look at, but also every tree that was good for food. Now, he did put in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's in there too. But I want you to notice something. Then it says God made those rivers, and they came down and they compassed around that land. And I want you to notice something. God's really specific about that. He could have just said he made rivers that went around the land. But here's what he said: wherein is gold. It goes around the land wherein there is gold, and not just gold. Notice that it's good gold. Come on, ain't no fool's gold in the land that God gave man. Do you see that? And then it says there that he put in also the onyx stone. And then he put in that hard to say word there, that bdellium, or however you say that. You know, and I did a little research on that because I wanted to know what bdellium is. And it just depends, because it goes anywhere from a very sweet fragrance perfume up to the part that it could even be pearls. Now, pearls would kind of line up with that, although God does like things that smell good. Right? Come on, you got to look and see. Did not God have them burning incense all the time inside the tabernacle? Yes. Of course, He likes sweet smells. And so this is all put in. Now, here's what I want you to get out of this. This is Old Testament, okay? But I want you to know that man did not ask for the gold. Man didn't ask for the bdellium. Man did not ask for the onyx stones. God made all those and put man in the land where they were at and then told him about them. Why? Because God wanted mankind to have it. See, this we got to get a hold of this, church, because most of the church world thinks God doesn't want us to have anything. Most of the church world think, you know, we're just supposed to scratch and just barely get along and just hold out till Jesus finally comes and gets us and we kind of get to escape from earth then. But that's not the God we serve. The God we serve made the earth for the children of men and gave it to us, right? He put all these things on the earth for us to have and said we could have them. Come on now. Now understand, these things are not for the children of the devil. Come on. These are for the children of God. Come on now. See, so when we see this, what I'm trying to show you is, first of all, is God says, I never change. And then we go all the way back to where He made man. And the first thing He did when He made man was put him in a place where there was good stuff. Come on now. Not just good stuff, but the best stuff. The best gold. Come on now. See, you've got to get a hold of this. Because a lot of folks think, well, you know, if I'm just as long as I can get by, that's all that matters. God wants you doing more than getting by. Did you know that? Come on. I know that the enemy's coming in at us at all times. But God started out giving His man good things. He wants us to have good things. Amen. That's what He wanted him to have. Now, let me show you something over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jump over there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 1. He says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Notice this. You know, when you read and start finding out, if you keep the Word of God, there's so many promises that God will give you a longer life. Notice that. The Word of God is life. Come on, it's extended life for us. So many people are missing out on extended life because they're missing out on the Word. Amen. They don't understand that the Word says if you do this Word and do what it says, you can have an extended life. Oh, no, I don't believe that, Pastor. I believe when your time's up, your time's up. Well, I don't tell that to Hezekiah. Wasn't it Hezekiah? Am I right on that? It's been a while since I read it, but he sent Isaiah in, told him, set your house in order. You're getting ready to die. Turned his face against the wall, began to tell the Lord, you know, Lord, all my days I've followed you and I've kept your commandments and done what you told me to do. You know, Isaiah's already out in the yard by now. He just walked in, laid it on him. You're getting ready to die. And he's walking. And God speaks to Isaiah. Go back in there and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. Why? Because he had been keeping the statutes. He'd been doing what God said. And he asked for more time and he got it. Now, let me tell you something. You're going to get mad at me about this. I don't care. If God would give it to him and not give it to us, God would be a respecter of persons. And guess what? God ain't no respecter of persons. He loves you and I just as much as He did him. Right? Come on, see. But, when you start talking like this, people think you've lost it. They think you're crazy. They think you don't know what you're talking about. I believe the Word. And if that makes me look stupid, fine. If it makes me look crazy, that's fine. You know, I mean, I can remember a gentleman that used to walk up and down the road, you know, up past the house, been back. I was just young, and I'm not going to mention the names because a lot of people would know him because they was from around the creek. But he'd walk up and down the road, and he would, if you were sitting out on the porch, he'd stop and speak to you, you know, and before he ever left there, he'd say, it'd be a good day for the Lord to come again, wouldn't it? You know. And people, they just tore him up. So they called him Bible crazy. You know, now, you know, that was between him and God. But I'm going to tell you this. They can call me Bible crazy all they want to. I believe what the Word of God says. And I'm going to tell you something. Today would be a good day for the Lord to come again, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. So I believe the word here. And he says here that when you believe the word, do the word and keep his commandments, that it'll prolong your days, right? All right. Look at verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee in the land that floweth milk and honey. Notice that. Do the word and he's going to increase you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. Now, let me just kind of stop here and let's just talk about this. Notice this. He says when you keep his commandments, notice, cities that you didn't build, houses that are furnished that you didn't furnish or build. See that? Isn't that what your word says? Wells that you didn't dig, vineyards that you didn't plant, and also olive trees that you didn't plant. Notice that's what he promised. He said, you can have these things. In other words, I'm going to bless you for keeping my word. But now notice then, he comes up and he says, now once you get all this stuff, and this is where the church fails very greatly, once you get all this stuff, don't forget about the Lord after you get full. See, so many people, man, when they first start coming to church, whatever, they're a wreck. Come on. We're wrecks a lot of times. We come and a lot of folks are broke, disgusted, busted, the whole deal, right? Come in, you know, messed up. Come in, God straightens us up, blesses us, gets our feet back on solid, gets us in a good place now to where we're doing good. And then all of a sudden, folks just quit coming. Folks just quit going and worshiping God. They forget who blessed them. They forget who brought them out of the miry clay and set them on the rock. And God says, listen, you can read on there. And God says, if you forget about me, I'll wipe you off the face of the earth. Read it for yourself. That's what he says. If that's what you decide to do, you just go ahead and do that, but you won't be no more. People need to understand, I understand this is Old Testament, but I want to show you the seriousness when it comes to God and us worshiping Him, serving Him, and keeping His commandments. Right? And again, God's not a respecter of persons, and I understand they're under Old Covenant, we're under New Covenant, but we're still God's people. They were God's people, we're God's people. And so God says, I want to bless you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to, but don't get so full and don't get to thinking, now I've got it made. Yeah. Remember the guy in the New Testament? Remember the guy that his fields brought forth plenty, and he said to himself, he didn't know what he was going to do with it all. He said, I don't know what I'll do. I'll do. I'll just tear down my barns, build bigger barns, and I'll put all of it in. Never once did he think I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. Right? He said, I'm going to hoard it all up because, man, I got all this myself, and so I'm just going to take it and store it up and say to my soul, eat, drink, eat, be merry, take thine ease and rest. God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. See, so he's warning. He's the same God. Come on now. He's the same God that told them, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you all this stuff. I want you to be full, but when you get full, don't forget. It's the same God that told the rich man whose field brought forth plenty, thou fool, this night shall your soul be required of you. So we have to understand this is the God we serve. He is a just God. He's a merciful God. He's a good God that wants to bless His kids. And all He asks in return is to be worshipped. Is for us to acknowledge that He is our God, right? So we keep His commandments, cities we didn't build, good things in the houses, wells we didn't dig. Look at all that. Vineyards, olives, trees. God wants us to bless us. Now, jump over here to Psalm 103 and let you look at a scripture here. We're still in the Old Testament. Psalm 103. Let's just read the first five verses. David writing here. How many knows David was a blessed man? Right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Notice that. We could stop there a little while and forget not all of His benefits. Isn't it amazing how quick we forget? Come on. Now, isn't it amazing how quick we forget that we're saved and on our way to heaven? We get down. We get depressed. We get in a bad mood. We act like we ain't got a thing in the world to be happy about, anything to be joyful about. Nothing good going on in our life. Man, you're saved and on your way to heaven. You don't have to go to hell and burn for an eternity. That's enough we ought to shout whether we got anything else or not. Right? To know that we're born again, get to go to heaven, that Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for us. Man, that's enough. That ought to be enough that we ought to, everyone, live for God to the best of our abilities. I mean, that's the greatest thing ever. But God didn't stop there. Notice David said, and forget not all of His benefits. That means, he says, benefits, there's more than just one benefit. But he says, don't forget them. Then he goes on and he begins to list a little bit. Look at this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? That's what we just talked about. He forgave us even though we were guilty. Isn't that good news? Even though every one of us deserved hell, Jesus Christ paid the price for us so that our sins could be forgiven. So he says, don't forget that He's the one that forgives all your iniquities. Don't forget He's the one that healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. I'm glad I learned about divine healing from the Word of God, aren't you? Come on. That doesn't mean we're walking all the time in it. We can, but you know, we tend to sometimes slack, right? But it's good to know that if I get a sniffle, I'm not saying, well, it looks like I'm getting the flu. Come on. If I get a sniffle, I say, no, you don't, devil. Not in Jesus' name, I'm the healed of God. See, the Word of God has changed the way I see my healing and my health and changed the way I talk about myself when I get attacked with sickness or disease. Understand that the Word does not stop you from getting attacked. Come on. What does the shield of faith do? It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It doesn't say the shield of faith stops him from throwing them at you. Right? It quenches them. And the way you get back at him is how? The sword of the Spirit. So you've got your shield of faith up there when he's attacking and throwing that stuff at you. But then you jerk out your sword. And you begin to declare the Word of God. And the Word of God trumps His fiery missiles. Come on. Now I'm talking about my healing, how I am the healed of God. Yeah, but now, Pastor, if you'd have just seen me the other day, the shape I was in. It don't matter what it looked like. Here's the thing. He said, by His stripes you were healed. If you were, you are. Come on. But you have to be talking it out of your mouth. Don't let the symptoms get to you. Come on, you got to speak over that thing. Don't allow it to get a hold of you. Let your shield of faith be out there and that speaking that word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then use the Word of God against the devil. Tell him he's got no right to attack your body. You're the property of God. You're a son and daughter of God, king and priest. Come on. The devil has no authority over you. I mean, a lot of preachers would like to tell you that he does. You know, a lot of folks will say things like, when I would say like something like that, I'm afraid the devil might hear me. You want him to hear you. You want him to hear you saying, I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, you're going to condemn. Come on. You want him to hear you say, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. He was striped for my healing. I believe I received my healing. Therefore, I believe I'm healed right now. Come on. You want the devil to hear you say that he was poor so that I could become rich. Come on. You want the devil to hear you speaking the promises of God over you. Amen. See, that's how you quench the fire darts of the wicked one. You use that shield of faith and stop him from coming at you. So, you know, when we see this, we understand and know that God wants to forgive and heal all of our diseases, right? Look at verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? What? He redeems your life from destruction. The devil sets road traps and roadblocks and pitfalls for you. But God says, devil, that ain't going to work on them because that's mine right there. And you're not messing with mine. Come on. He redeems your life from destruction. He doesn't allow. What's the devil do? Kill, steal, and destroy, right? And he redeems you from the killer, the stealer, and the destroyer. That's a benefit of serving God. He redeems your life from destruction. It's how you can have a heart attack and not know you had a heart attack. And look at people like they're stupid, you know. I mean, you talking about me? You think I have? Well, I don't know it if I did. You know, come on now. Now, things were showing in the blood and all that stuff, but as far as my life, he had redeemed me from destruction. No matter what the devil tried to do, it didn't work. Come on. God just got saw to it that I got fixed up and better than new, bionic man. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now. You see, and that's what he does. He redeems your life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank God for that. He crowns you with loving kindness. When you think nobody loves you, God loves you. Come on, he's always there for you. I don't care what the devil's trying to tell you. Ain't nobody cares anything about you. You're just a nobody. He's a liar and the father of lies. Come on. And tender mercy. Wow. Mercy is so awesome. Mercy. See, we really don't understand. We sing the song and it talks about mercy. And we don't really understand that. Mercy, somebody having mercy on you means that even though you're guilty, you're not guilty. Even though you deserve punishment, you don't get punished. Man, that's the mercy of God, the mercy that He has toward us. Let's read on just a little bit. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things? Look, notice that. Once again, good things. God don't want bad things for His kids. He wants good things for His kids. And notice this. He satisfies your mouth. That means it tastes good to you. Right? I mean, you know, come on. There, you can eat food, right? But there's food that tastes good. You know what I'm talking about, right? Come on now. Pastor Ed's not a steak person. That's sad, really. You know, but she's not a big meat person anyway at all. But she's really not a steak person, and just so happens I like steak. And, you know, so I have a difficult time a lot of times trying to get her. You know, we'll be out to eat. How many knows that it's good to get to go to the steakhouse, you know? But it's hard to take a woman to the steakhouse that's not a fan of steak. So, you know, we go, she'll get pork chops, she'll get chicken. And so we finally... We went to the Texas Roadhouse in Lexington, and I said, why don't you try maybe the ribeye? It's got a little different flavor, and just to see, because if she don't eat it, I'm going to. But But I said, why don't you try that? And she said, well, she said, you know, she said, I'll try it. And so she got it and they brought it out there and I'm kind of looking at it saying, please, you know, So she cuts it. She takes a bite of it and she goes, just looks at me. I thought, this is it. Probably my last time at Texas Roadhouse. She goes, that is good. What? That is delicious. And she cuts her another piece. And man, that's the best steak I've ever had in my life. And she ends up, she still don't eat the whole thing, but she eats what she wants because it's good. Matter of fact, it was so good, she wanted to go back. Unfortunately, one out of five times since then, maybe. So my chances of getting to go back keep getting slimmer because I don't know who the cook was that day, but they did it right for her. It satisfied her mouth with something good. You see, I mean, the others are steaks, same kind of steaks, but one was good. He likes for you to have what you like. Not just something that's like it, right? Same steak, same ribeye, looked like the same, whatever. Might have been even fixed by the same person. I don't know. But one satisfied her mouth to the point that she, you know, usually, again, I eat mine. If she don't eat hers, we box it up. I take it home. I get to eat it. I didn't get to eat that steak. Because even after she took it home, she finished it at home later, next day or something like that. It was that good. See, and see, that's the way God wants us to have what we like. Not just what we have to have. Right? Come on. He wants to satisfy our mouth with good things. Come on, think about that for a minute. A lot of folks will say, well, you know, God said He'll just supply my needs, but He didn't supply my wants. Well, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll grant you the desires of your heart. Right here He says, I'm going to satisfy your mouth. Well, not with just what you need, but with what tastes good. Yeah, I'm going to give you what satisfies you. Then He goes on and He says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Come on, church. I'm going to agree with Rick McKenzie on this. We're going to live a long time and we're going to have quality life. All of us. I'm speaking it over us all. We're just long life and blessing because of the Word of God. And there's more to life than just, you know, living, being active and enjoying. Quality of life means something. Come on, quality. If you can't have quality of life, I mean, you know, if I can't have quality life, I just want to go home and be with Jesus. Because I'll be perfectly, right? But as long as I'm here, I want to have the life He said I could have, and that's an abundant life. Right? Live it to the full till it overflows. I don't know. Maybe when I'm 90, I might jump out of an airplane with a parachute or something. I really don't have any desire to, but might just do it because I want to, you know, or something then. I don't know. Who knows? But I know God says, you know, if that's what I want to do, He'll let me. Right? Come on, I think I'd rather go fishing, though, is to do that. All right, let's move along. Okay. But anyway, notice this now. Now, let me show you something. All those are in the Old Testament, okay? All that, so, you know, there's those folks that say, well, yeah, but now see, everything you just read is Old Testament. And that would be true. But now, has God changed His mind since the Old Testament? Since we moved into the... Well, see, if He's the Lord God and He changes not, then He hasn't changed about that. Right? That was part of the old covenant. Now, you know, we're living under the new covenant. But let me show you something in Luke chapter 12, if you'll jump over here with me. Luke chapter 12, and look at verse 29. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Look at verse 31. But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Come on now, look at that. He says this, you don't even have to seek after it. God already knows you need it. Now, I do know the Word of God says ask and you have not because you ask. Now, but what I'm trying to tell you is that God is already saying, Jesus, right in the first four Gospels there, He begins to tell us it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. God ain't holding anything back. Come on. He's not holding anything back from us. If we don't have it, it's either because we have a lack of knowledge, right? We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's either that or we just won't believe what the Word says. We're of a doubtful mind. Notice He said, don't have a doubtful mind. You just believe God and watch and see if these things are not added to you. Matter of fact, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God still wants us to have good things. If He wanted the Old Testament saints to have it, He wants the New Testament saints to have it. Right? Amen. Now remember, James chapter 1, verse 17, let me give this one to you. It says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Right? And it comes down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So once again, here's God wanting us to have good gifts and perfect gifts. God don't give you second hand. Come on. Right? He's not giving out seconds. Come on. You know, for a while here, among the ladies, and you know, it's been several years ago now, they are out of business and things change. But for a long time, Longaberger baskets. How many of you have heard of them or know about them or whatever? You know, that was, it's a big thing. A lot of people going, they go up into Ohio up there and it's pretty cool. They had a big office made out of a basket. It was kind of a sensation thing, kind of a fad thing, kind of. But they had the originals and then they had seconds. Now the original was a whole lot more expensive than the seconds. They looked a lot the same, but there was some kind of flaw on them that when they would inspect them, they would call it a second. They'd mark on it, but instead of it being original, having an original stamp on the bottom of it, they'd mark through that so that everybody would know that this is a second. Okay? Now, it looked a lot the same, but it wasn't the same. See, God has marked every one of you with the original marker. Every one of you, there ain't no seconds in here. Every one of you are first runs. Come on. You're uniquely and specially made. You're wonderfully made according to the Word of God. So don't ever let the devil tell you you're less than because you're not. And every good gift and perfect gift is coming down to you from God. He wants you to have the best. 2 Corinthians says this in 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen unto the glory of God by us. So notice that all the good gifts come down from God. All God's promises to us are yes and amen. So everything that God says we can have, He's already said yes to. So you get that. That's the thing people have a hard time. We a lot of times are asking for God for stuff He's already said yes. Right? Come on, we're making petitions to Him and He's already told us we could have it. He's already said in His Word we could have it. A lot of times folks are begging God to heal them when God's already said you could have healing. Right? Come on. They're begging God for things that God said, listen, I gave those to you when you became a child of God. They belong to you because they're in the family. And since you're in the family, they belong to you too. It's just the fact that we have to understand and know that all of His promises are yes to us. And when we understand that, the Paul writing to us, and I believe it was Paul, it's in Peter, I believe. Let me look and see to make sure. I think it's Peter. Sometimes I get some things messed up. I've had Peter preaching two times, I think, while I was preaching now when Eutychus fell out of the ceiling and it was Paul preaching. Brother D come and said, Pastor, he said, I need to tell you this. And I said, what is it? He said, you've been saying Peter instead of Paul. And I said, you know what? You're exactly right. I just said the wrong person. Now, that didn't change that it happened, but it did change it who it was, okay? So I want to get this right. It is Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, let's just go ahead and read it. Instead of me quoting it, that way I'll get it right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, of them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us, notice, hath given unto us, already give it to us, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. In other words, God has already given it to you. God has already said yes, and God hasn't changed His mind about it. You see, and that's the thing. God has not changed. He was God when He made man, and He's still God. He blessed man when He made him. He's still blessing us today. And we have to know that. We have to understand, I am blessed. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Father, we thank You, Lord God, that You never change. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word never changes, Father God. And what You said about us is true. Thank You, Father God, Lord, that if we'll do the Word, obey that Word, I thank You, Father God, all Your promises come to pass in our life because we know that You are a God of Your Word. And we're just going to receive it and believe it by faith and give You glory as it comes to pass in our life. Thank You for that, Father. In Jesus' name.